Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Come on, y'all. Has God been good to any of you? Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. We're still celebrating 40 years of God's goodness, 40 years of ministry. Amen. Why don't you tell two or three people, say, I'm so glad to see you here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, if we have any first-time visitors, I want to say welcome to Living Faith Christian Center. I'm so glad you're here with us. Amen. And, I took off last Sunday, but I know Minister Henry was here, and he preached a word, shared some encouragement with you all last week. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so today we have Dr. Mark Barclay. Yes. And to introduce him, we went out to have dinner yesterday, and we were talking about years in ministry. He's been in ministry for 50 years, right? 50 years. But I can tell you his 50 years, even if he was just 40, his 50 years is different than mine. So he's been out in the field. He's done a whole lot. And so I just wanted to share with you around, I guess it was 2010, perhaps. I don't remember exactly. When I called you up, Doc, and Sister Vicky, and asked, would they cover me? And they said yes. And so I just wanted to share with you why I am blessed by Dr. Barclay. He's somebody, he's a man that I can trust. First of all, he's anointed. He's powerful. What I love about him in particular, him and his wife, Vicky, is that they're people of integrity. I don't know about you, but I need people in my life who I can trust, who I know won't take advantage of me, won't take advantage of the ministry. Dr. Barclay, he has a lot of experience, but when he comes to visit, he is very humble. He defers to me as the pastor. He never comes in and tries to take over. You know, in the past, I've been where people come in with a strong hand, but Dr. Barclay has always treated me respectfully, and it's a big deal that I trust him. And he's not only a prophet, but he's a pastor, he's a teacher, he's an evangelist. He's all those things wrapped into one. And he's shared some great stories, him being out in the mission field and, watching people get sick or watching people even almost die in ministry and die. But he's made it, praise the Lord. He's here. He's got the wisdom of God. Amen. And his wife, Vicky, she's really sweet and funny and fun-loving and, so she couldn't be here today. But I trust you, Dr. Barclay, and I know that you're a man of integrity. And that's very important, especially for me as a female pastor in ministry. I just need people that I can trust, like you, right? So I asked him to come today to celebrate with us 40 years of ministry. He definitely knows some things about ministry, and so he's going to... I gave him free rein. He can preach, share, do whatever he wants to do. He's just going to let the Holy Spirit lead him. Amen? So, without further ado, I want you to stand to your feet and give a big hand clap and welcome to Dr. Mark T. Barclay. Come on.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. Pastor Connie, come on, give her a good hand clap. Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Be blessed and be seated. Amen. Thank you, worship team. That was a great time in God. I needed that. And I appreciate it. I really do. And amen. I guess they do too. But I've been around this kingdom a long time. And I know it doesn't just happen. You got to give your life to it. People like you. You don't just get up and hang and bang and pick and grin. Not and get this kind of anointing and help for all of us. So I just want to take a minute and thank you for giving your life to your ministry and bringing us into the presence of God today, because I needed it and I do feel that anointing, and I thank you for it. Give them a good hand clap, and all the singers, come on. Praise God. Yeah. Wow. I'm so glad to be with you. Living Faith, God bless you. And I believe in you. I have all the years I've known you and done anything I could to stand with you, and still will. Praise the Lord. And I am a Pastor Connie McLean fan. And so is my wife, Vicki. We think you're awesome, seriously. Not flattery, just awesome because of who you are and what you do. And thank God for every one of you, because if you did not do your ministry and serve your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, with your time, talent, and money, this wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be celebrating 40 years of, I say it this way, 40 years of saying yes to God and no to the devil. Isn't that right? Praise God. That's right. And I feel real strong. I'm standing here before you, but also in the office of the prophet. That's my primary gift. And I see in the spirit. I hear, let me back up a minute. I hear in the spirit people. Oh, I don't know who all they are, and I wouldn't say their names probably if I did. I'm not that guy. But I hear from the Holy Spirit people over the whole 40 years, for all I know. I'm not referring to any particular incident or thing. But I hear people saying that you wouldn't make it. Even back when Pastor Reverend Dr. McLean was here, people, he stood up. I can tell you right now, that was a bad year for the devil. What would that be, 1985? When you guys pioneered, and when Lamont and Connie came and put down their foot and said, God sent us here with a heavenly vision. Ha! I'm going to say it again. That was a bad year for the devil right there, man. Amen. And the devil always overplays his hand. He's always sassing and yakking. And the stuff he prophesies never comes to pass. But I hear, standing here before you on this time that in your season to celebrate 40 years, I hear people saying, that place will never make it. Even back with Dr. Lamont, Pastor Lamont, he's no real preacher. He's this and he's that. And you know, the devil's always nibbling in the corners. And isn't it amazing? It seems like, now I could be wrong on this, it just seems like Satan has no trouble finding people to speak for him. But sometimes God does. And then I hear people saying that, why, that church can't make it without me. I don't think that just fits here. I think other people have left other churches, and for whatever reason, sometimes people go away in the military to school, get a job in another place, another state, and sometimes people, I guess, just change churches. I'm not referring to anybody, seriously, or any names, and we've had no conversations in the back room. I'm not shooting an arrow at any target. I'm just obeying God to speak to you this morning. But I didn't mean to say any of this, but as I step up here in this prophetic office, I can't help but bring this up. But probably in all churches everywhere on the planet, there's somebody in the midst that got arrogant enough to say, well, if I leave here, it'll all fall apart. Well, they can't make it without me. And you know, whoever those people are, man, are they dead wrong. They're just dead wrong. The Bible says, I can't read the verse, but I'll refer to it. The Bible says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And of the Spirit. That's this work. This was not a good idea. This was not a Lamont McLean good idea. No, this was a God assignment. And I've seen this many times. And one of the reasons that we salute you and your team around you, Connie, is that you have been, church, obedient to the heavenly vision. Because this isn't a man's thing. It isn't. God gave this assignment all those years ago. And somehow, this young couple decided, let's just go and obey God. And let's start this ministry. And let's birth this church. And just let's obey God. Somehow between the two of them, let's just obey God. Yeah, aren't you glad they did? And I am. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. And so, through the years, even with Pastor Lamont in heaven, you know, a man of his caliber and of his anointing, he never goes away. He's never gone from here. Now, physically, he's in heaven. I suppose in his new heavenly glorified body, yeah. But his spirit, the vision, what he imparted, and you can't help it. I think you see it because you're here all the time. I just come and go as I can and as I'm invited. But, you know, his fingerprints are all over this place. And nobody wants to erase him anyways. That's not what I'm saying. But you couldn't erase him because why? This thing was birthed by God. This thing called Living Faith. This international ministry and church and influence. And you have done well, church. I want to say that to you, if I may, this morning. You honestly have done well to stay and keep your obedience connected to that heavenly vision. And I know, just like in my life in ministry, through the years, you know, sometimes things get adjusted a little bit by God. And sometimes in combat, I'm a war veteran. A Marine war veteran. Sometimes in combat, I always say, and I used to tell the young Marines that I led, hey, combat today changes everything. You can start out gung-ho, man. Do or die, semper fi, the Marine says. But at the end of the day, combat changes your life. And you're forced to make certain adjustments to live. We used to say, in my day, when I was you know, actually in the Corps. In my day, it was, we would set it at certain times of the day or night. A lot of times we did work at night. And we'd say, we live today to fight another day. Amen. And that, my friend, is called Christianity. Amen. The spirit of fight. Do you ever wake up in the morning and not want to fight? Yeah. Really? Wow. You should lay hands on me. Yeah, I know. Because some battles just go on and on. And isn't it something? Sometimes I say this. I'll take on anything that the devil wants to throw at me, but can be a fresh battle. Does it have to be the same dumb thing all the time? Amen. Notice I didn't say the same dumb people. That's not what I meant to say. Quit putting words in my mouth, everybody, right now. No. But you just fight on because when you think about it, there's no alternative at all. And I got just reminiscing as we flew in here to be with you today, which I so appreciate. And I want to thank you for receiving me and letting me be part of this church and part of your life and part of Pastor Connie's life. I'm serious about it. You don't have to do that. But I want to thank you for making a little room for me because I honestly love this work and I love what you're doing. And I see in the spirit, Even though, you can clap. Go ahead. It's all right. Praise God. Thank you. All of these, this vibration of words, this turbulence of words, you're not going to make it. God is done with you. You know, a church like this, there are many that were birthed in the 80s that grew like wildfire, grew big, grew strong, big numbers, you know, and all kinds of stuff. You did here, didn't you? Yeah. And then things happen through life and combat and people and whatever. And you don't want to ever, I hope you don't do this. You don't want to ever look down the row or look around and say, where is everybody that used to be here? No, wait. And then interpret that as God's done with you. What, you've had your best day? Okay, I'll admit it. You had a big day. Lamont McLean, Connie McLean, Living Faith, you had a big day. And you may have another one again. So be it. Hallelujah. But, amen. You don't have to be 5, 7, 8, 10,000 members strong in order to take on the enemy in your town and in your city. All it takes is severe soldiers of the cross. Praise God. You veterans will get this. I I got invited, and I do fairly often, but I went back to my home base. You know, when a Marine says he's going home, he doesn't mean where he sleeps. He means that home outfit that sent him out, and he was dispatched from there and inserted from there. I got to go home again the other day to Camp Pendleton Marine Corps Base at Recon. And so talking to those young Marines, I can't remember, I think there's about 350 of them there, being trained, here's my point, to be special forces people with special assignments. And I got to address them. I always tell them, hey, the Marines are among the best. I think all the U.S. military is top-notch, seriously. I spend time with all of them. I do. Amen. But I happen to be on the Marine Corps base, so I told these young Marines, they're already warriors, of course, so they wouldn't be there at recon school. And I said, the Marines, they're going to train you as good as anybody can to stay alive and to never compromise. Improvise, adapt, overcome, live on, to fight another day. But I'm here today, this is what I told them, I'm here today, boys and girls, to teach you how to die. Because I watch people die. They don't die cursing God. I've watched people die as a Marine leader. I watched people die as a pastor. You know, family members even. You've had family. I've never, now maybe you have. I've never seen anybody die or heard anybody curse God when they die. Maybe you have. I never have. I only have heard people cry out to God. And I heard young Marines cry out for their mama or their pretty little bride. Or something. Here, give this to my bride. Give this to my boy. If you make it back home, you know, Gunny, give this to my mama. And it's a powerful event to tell military one day, maybe soon. Those guys, they get deployed in the dark. They can go in just moments, minutes notice. They're settled up and gone. And they're going to, you know, hours later, they're going to be in a foreign land somewhere, and et cetera, et cetera. And so to be able to have that opportunity to teach them, let me teach you how to die. And I've never had, in all the groups, I've been with everybody, you know, Air Force, the Navy, the Army, the Marines, all of us. And I've never, ever had a group say, oh, that religious stuff, oh, that Christians, oh, he's just a preacher. I've never ran into that. Not when you're that guy or gal in uniform and you might get deployed to die. We want you to live for your country, not die for it. But I'm challenging you on this on purpose. Because you and I have family members and friends, and it is our season right now to take everything that's been invested in your life. This church right here, you've been trained well. You really have. You're a good army. Yes. And I'm not here all the time. I do stream when I can and stuff like that. So I'm aware, but I'm not here all the time. But I happen to know that there's nobody in this pulpit that's not loaded with the Word of God to train you. A lot of you have been in special classes. You've been trained to be officers or leaders or department heads or something else. I know this for sure in this church. You've been trained to teach your family how to die. You want me to say it different? To evangelize, to witness. Don't you ever give up on any of them. Because no matter what, even you're facing, let me help you. Good soldiers are muddy and sometimes bloody. It doesn't mean they're weak and wrong. Just because you've been through some stuff and life has beat you up a little bit, maybe you're even wondering why some of your prayers haven't been answered or something like that. Or I've given and given, you know, Doc, and where's my 100-fold return, this promise? There's all kinds of elements to living on life. Satan has declared planet Earth as a war zone, every square inch of it. He has declared war on you, the body of Christ, and he wants your soul, and he wants the souls of your loved ones and relatives, and he wants you to get out of here. He hates the fact that you're here, any service, including today. Remember what I said, 1985, when God released from heaven this vision through the heart, mind, soul, and mouth of the McLeans, it was a bad day for demonic forces in this region. I got news for you. It's still a bad day for them because we're so here. We're so here. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Well, maybe there's not as many members as there were in our heyday and that heights of growth. Okay, but are you trying to tell me we're not as severe? Here was a point I was making with those young Marines. That's what you are. I would look at you, members of this church, and call you special forces. What's that mean? Our military globally is so severe. You actually have to be totally stupid to want to be an enemy of the United States. I mean, we pick a chimney in a house or a building, you know, hundreds of miles away and put a missile down it and say, hello, it's America, you know. The devil's dumb enough to keep messing with us, but we're not weak here. And you may not, I'm going to say it another time, we're not dead here. In fact, we're not only not dead, we're not dying. There's a lot of life here. Can I say there's life here? Yeah, there's life here. And the assignment from heaven, you probably know this more than I do, but I asked the Lord about it, knowing I would be with you this morning. I said, Lord, is that assignment complete? Because it's a fair question. Is living faith, have we done everything you said that we were to do? And that's why we're here and this is it. And hallelujah, thank God for 40 years back. And we can reminisce our history and rejoice over this, this, and that. Is that it, Lord? And I'm going to tell you, the Lord did not even hesitate, or may I say, clear his throat. He immediately said, I am not at all done with living faith, and my assignment has not been adjusted whatsoever, and I still plan to launch that mighty army into the ocean of souls in that region. So lift your, yeah, clap first. Come on, do it. Clap first, and then lift your hands to heaven and say after me, Lord Jesus, count me in. I'm part of this army. Launch me. Use me. Use my time. Use my talents. Use my money. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Shekela Mandor. Just then, the Holy Spirit said, pause a minute and pray over the members of this church to break the spirit of poverty and debt that's chasing you. It may not be upon you. I hope not, but it's chasing you. The devil doesn't want you to have an extra dime, let alone a dollar, because he knows you'll put it in the kingdom. Amen. You know, I'm going to pray a prayer over you right now, because the Lord just nudged me when I just said that, when we said that together. You got to have more money. Well, you got to have more money probably because you got to have more money. And God wants you to have it. And you got to have more money because this ministry needs more money. And you know, sometimes you got to cover for others. Because sometimes when people uproot and go, for whatever reason, no condemnation, when people uproot and go, they almost never leave their tithe and offering behind. Very seldom do they ever mail it in the mail and say, I don't go to church here anymore, but I'm sending my tithe. Not usually. And so God, I believe this. I believe the Lord's saying this to me right now. God wants to anoint you with money so you can cover not only your portion and your share of responsibility in such a great church that you're in right now, but you have enough that you can cover for some others that may have moved away or something. They're not here, but you got to have it. Amen. Something I learned a long time ago from a young preacher. It doesn't matter if you're this great big church or this very, very little church like a pioneer church or something. Churches got to have all the same stuff, right? Got to have a building. Got to have lights. Got to have heat and air. Got to have security. Got to have nursery and children's ministries. Got to have music and worship ministries. Have to have teaching ministries. On. It doesn't matter, see. And in your case, let the Lord anoint you to have extra money. Amen? You don't have to give this church, your church, you don't have to give it some CPR. It's not dying. It's not dying. Don't let any of that, those people's words saying it's done, is God's done with it, it's dying. No, it's not. What are you talking about? You can step in here and for five minutes and say, there's no death in here, man. This is not a funeral. This is a celebration. This is the house of God. We got each other. We got the anointing of God. Jesus Christ still attends living faith. You got a great pastor. You got a great team. Come on, come on, come on. The Lord's not done with us. So, yeah, we celebrate 40 years of good past and the goodness of God. Of course we do. God's been good here to all of you, and I hope personally too. But wait till you see what God's going to do to help us move forward in the future. Because this thing was birthed in the Spirit, and it's of the Spirit. And God is not done with us. Say it. God is not done. Now, lift a hand to me. And if you're streaming, try it, and it's safe where you're at, you can join us. Lord, I pray money into my lap. Money to live on. Money to preach with. In the name of Jesus. Help me, Master. Now let me pray for you. From the office of the prophet, I prophesy money into your life in the name of Jesus. Supernatural supply to come to you, even in the most unusual ways. Even in the most unusual ways, the breakthrough of God, the divine supply of God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let that money come into your life. I claim you're going to supernaturally have debt cancellation. You're going to catch up everything. May the Lord give you a fish with a coin in its mouth that will pay for your whole taxes. May your taxes be paid. May your bills be paid. May your belongings be paid on. May you be mortgage free. May you have what you need to live good. And may you have what you need to help Pastor Connie move this army forward into the battlefield of life. And may you have enough to not only, come on. I'm kind of praying, prophesying. I'm praying, prophesying, I guess. May you have more than enough so you not only can carry your share and carry your load, but carry someone else's. And whether they either can't do it financially or maybe they're not even attending anymore. But the ministry moves on. Ha ha! And we thank you, Lord. Bring us that divine supply. And now, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I curse poverty. I curse debt. I curse what causes unemployment. I curse the spirit of lack. And I say, the supply of God is going to find us. It's going to find us as a church, and it's going to find you, you business owners and operators, you ministries, and you great believers. I rebuke that thing nibbling at you and always breaking things and stealing things and hurting you. And I say prosperity. I fully expect testimonies to come. Testimonies to come to Pastor Connie that God has moved for you on your behalf. Hey. He's done it for many others. Haven't you heard others testify? Why would he not do it for you? Do not disqualify yourself. Do not take yourself off that list. Never say, well, I guess it ain't working. Well, I guess it's not going to happen for me. No. You open your mouth. And you call those things that are not yet as though they were. And you call that prosperity to you. Because God wants you blessed, of course. But he wants to use you and me. He does. I'm totally convinced of this. He does. Say it, so be it. Into my life. In Jesus' name. Let's seal it like with a clap or something. Come on. Let's seal that with a clap. Glory. I don't know. I was talking about you with another minister. A while back we saw you at Brother Copeland's, and said hi is about all you get to do down there. That's a marathon, you know. But, there's a lot of people that know about this church. There's a lot of even big preachers, we call them famous preachers. They know about your pastor. They know about this church and what you've done. I was telling that preacher, I said, you know, I know this church. And they let me be part of it, those great believers. Well, they received me there. You still do, I hope. So if you don't tell me. That'll hurt my heart. Just, you can ignore me, sleep while I speak, but don't take me off the membership roster. I can't handle that one, okay? And I know Pastor Connie. And I got thinking from that conversation, just something sparked in me. I told Vicki this after that. I said, where did this woman come from? Where do you find a woman like this? She loses her lover and her man. And she decides to carry on the church? What? I probably said that wrong. I don't think it's just that she decided, God told her to. But you got this way I've always viewed this. We didn't go shopping for a pastor and da-da, we found a pretty and a cutie and a sweet lady. No, she was the founding pastor with her husband. They founded this together. So it's not like, you know, we had to go hire somebody. Thank God. She was here. She's been here since this church was birthed in prayer, let alone manifested. But still, I got thinking about this. I told my Vicki, who is this woman? How do you find a holy woman like this that doesn't freak out and quit and hide in a closet? And spend her life weeping and mourning. Oh, I'm sure she had her days, don't you? Wouldn't you if you lost your lover?
right in the prime of life, by the way. Things are going so good. And then I thought, where do you find this kind of woman? That she would keep the ministry going? Wait a minute. Have you not noticed? I'll help you. This is not a man. So she not only had to go over the hurdle of my man is gone, but now she's got to fight that whole stinking battle.
Well, I don't know if we believe in women pastors. I don't know if women should be in the pulpit. I don't know if,
and don't tell me, I know for sure that she had to fight through that whole barrier that she's a female and she's a woman and maybe she shouldn't be doing this. And you know, not only do people have mouths and attitudes, but the demons fly upon that stuff and try to, I'm sure, maneuver her out. And yet, somehow, she'd rise up, stand up, stand in the holy desk. Wow. Wow. And I'll tell you, I know Living Faith, you wouldn't have made it without you doing your part, but this church would have never made it. I'm just telling you straight. This is what I do for forever. I'm a church guy. I plant churches. I pastor hundreds of pastors, and I have my hand on ministries globally all over this planet. I'm going to tell you straight out, as good as you are as a church family and the lay leadership and all that, if this woman would have weakened, buckled her knees and failed, we would be doing a church funeral. We would have done a church funeral. Amen. Not a church 40-year celebration. And so I just want to take a minute and salute the pastor of this church. Praise God. I salute you. And it doesn't matter to us, and it doesn't matter to us that you happen to be a pretty lady. We don't look at you as a lady woman preacher. We look at you as our pastor of this church. So thank you, pastor, that you have led us to this place. Oh, come on. Shout or something for a minute. Praise God. Glory. Please be seated. I don't know, you're here today, so you might fit this statement, but I love church. I do. I'm that guy, you know, the scriptures say, Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God, the house of our Lord. I'm that guy. I actually like church. I wonder. I'm not sure everybody likes church. But I just want to testify. I like church. Church has changed my life forever and ever. And I can tell you this. In my whole life, not even being raised a Christian, never raised in church, never taught the Bible as a kid, I can tell you this. Everything good that has ever happened to Mark Barclay happened through a preacher, through that message, through belonging to a church. It was a church just like this one. No, it wasn't this one. I'm too old and you're too young, so it wasn't you, but it was a church with this caliber is what I mean, with a good pastor, with good leadership, and great believers, and anointed music and worship, and no apologies for the offerings. And it was a church that brought admonition and correction to a guy's life like mine. I desperately needed that. And so everywhere I go, even around the world, people that have never even met me, I tell them, thank you for belonging to church. Thank you for attending church. Thank you for serving in the house of God. Because I'm very, very grateful for you, because no, you can't make a disciple out of Mark Barclay. You're too late. I am one. But that church in that day, way back in the 70s, just like you, made a disciple out of me. And I'm ever so grateful. And God told me I was a again, a young Marine, and in the Vietnam War, and we were sitting at our, we had a little bar on the other side of China Beach, it was called in the day, and we'd hang out there in between things, missions and such, and I was sitting there, it's probably not there anymore, you know. When you get as old as a dinosaur, even your footprints have disappeared. You know what I mean? So this place probably isn't even there anymore. But if it was, I could take you there. And to the very bar stool I sat at, just freshly born again, and nobody to believe in me. You know how desperate people are to be believed in? You don't? Maybe it's you, but people are desperate to have someone to believe in them and help them along the way. And the God spoke to me and said, I want you to leave these people, all the Marines I drank with and ran with and fought with. I want you to leave these people. I thought he meant leave the Corps. And I said, you want me to get out of the Marine Corps? No. I want you to quit doing this. These people are not good for you and you're not good for them. So I said, kind of like back in those days, I said to myself, really, you're answering God, right? I said, okay, what do I do? And he said, you leave these people. Listen to this a minute, will you? And you find my people. And you never leave them the days of your life. That was 1972. And I told those Marines, some of them worked with me and for me. I said, I won't be doing this here anymore. I'll do my job. I'll be your leader. I won't abandon you in our missions. But I do this no more. No more partying, no more bars, no more alcohol, no more of this. I'm going to go find God's people. You know, it's really weird. This is why you can't stop inviting people and going to get people to church. Think about that. You know what's weird? I didn't know where to find God's people. Honestly, I wasn't raised in church. I had no church. There was no church that sent me out to go to the Marines to Vietnam. I'm a sinner boy, barely born again. By that, I mean I gave my life to Christ, but people aren't fixed just because they're born again. And I found you, God's people, and I've never left you. I've never left you. I will never leave you. I will be in God's house and among God's people, the blood washed and the redeemed, until I take my last breath. Amen. And I thank you. Now, this church here, you've always been a blessing to me, a good to me, receive me. Your pastor's good to me and Vicky. But listen, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the reason I keep going at my age, I'm not really that old, but I just want you to feel bad for me or something. I don't know. Someone asked me this question. I get asked this question all the time. Hey, Doc, why do you keep going like this? Preaching somewhere around the world every day. You know, your telecast is massive now into the whatever millions of households. And all these books you've written and your church at home is thriving and big and all these other. And they say, you got a couple bucks in your pocket? You don't have to work like this. And my answer is, yes, I do. Why? Sometimes my family members say, slow down, Doc. Why are you doing this? I said, listen to me. Because everywhere I go, everywhere I stand to speak, every podcast, every telecast, every book, every magazine page, everything I do, there could be a Mark Barclay sitting out there needing, as needy as I was, looking for God's people, looking for help and can't find it. And so until I take my last breath. I'm on a hunt. I'm a good hunter. I'm a recon guy. I'm a leatherneck man. We're good trackers. And I'm on a hunt for Mark T. Barclays that need my Jesus. And that's why a guy like me desperately needs a church like you. Because if you give up, I'm not saying you are. If you give up, slow down, cool off. Even let the times get to you. Or let people that have told you no before. If you've witnessed to people and they told you no before, you need to go again because it's a whole new day. Seriously. And we're finding that people that might have said, I don't know, maybe later, no, in times past, many of them are saying yes today because they're desperate and they need people like you in their life. Amen. To lead them to the things of God. Put both hands to heaven. Would you do it just another minute and say this after me, Lord Jesus. Anoint me to be a great influence and to be contagious. Touch people and lead people and bring people into your presence in the name of Jesus. I was reading one of my very favorite verses. I normally read it and preach on it. I've probably preached on these verses every Christmas for the last Christmas, forever. But not just Christmas time. You know, what those people saw was a bright star in the sky. And they followed that star to where? To Jesus. And no matter how you want to cut it, you're that bright star. And a lot of people will never find that manger. They'll never find this altar without you, bright star, letting your light shine. And keep coming. And just keep coming back to the things of God. And just create that pattern. You know, like it says, my daddy was a hunting fishing guide. So I grew up, you know, we were talking about it at dinner. I grew up kind of living off the land. Seriously, back in the 50s in Michigan, you could pretty much do that. And the Bible says, as the deer panteth for the water, so does my soul pant after God. You know those deer, if you're a hunter or even into National Geographic, those deer, they'll beat a path in the ground going to that same route time again, getting to that water hole. And then they'll come back. And then they'll go again. And then they'll come back. And then they'll go again until you, before you know it, those deer have knocked down all the tall grass. And after a while, they've tore up the top grass, the sod. And then after a while, they're into the dirt. And then after a while, you can see that path beat down. The same path over and over and over and over again, that same path, panting for that water brook. And that, my friend, that should be you and me. That should be you and me beating our path to the house of God, to the altar of God, getting your babies in the nursery, getting your young ones in the classes, getting your marriage to the altar, getting your ministry here, exposing yourself to the things of God. Yeah. Beating that path at other people. If you're a good hunter, you don't just go wildly hunting for deer. You look for the sign of where they go. You got to understand, please. There are Mark Barclays that are as hurting as I was, broke everything like I did, and desperate for you. Please don't give up on them. Whether you know them yet or not, that's why you and I let our light shine. And that is in the DNA of this church. I'm not preaching anything new to you. This is part of the living faith DNA. It always has been. But I just come today to say thank you for being so faithful to the call of God. Thank you, as we've said, to Pastor Connie, for never quitting and just doing what you got to do to keep this thing going forward. Thank you, believers, for praying, serving, sowing, and bringing in the finances, and not let anybody talk you out of your walk with God. Amen. I heard a amen. Clap once. Come on. Praise God. I heard my alarm go off, you know, but I want to tell you a brief story that goes along with this that marks my life. Can I do that? I was about to say thank you for your enthusiasm, man. I felt all alone. Man, I would have given $20 just then for any friend anywhere, but you just sat there and stared at me, so I'm keeping my money. Don't look like that. It's too late now. You say all the amens you want, or you should have said them before. We had a deal in the back that you would say amen when I preached, whether you like me or not. You're dropping the ball, brother. Wow. And all of that, and they still give you a front row seat. Move him to the back. You are so late. If you're that late for the rapture, you are not going. Just let me tell you, man, you're not going. Okay, all right. A few years ago, my phone rang, and my secretary, I happened to be in the office, which I'm not much because I'm a missionary, and she said, "There's a Mr. Sumrall on the phone for you." I said, "Oh, Dr. Sumrall, the preacher. He was my hero and one of my dads." I said, "Pass him through." She says, No. "It's not Dr. Lester Sumrall. It's Mr. Pat Sumrall. And he wants to talk to you." I said, "Who on earth?" And then it hit me. Okay, so I thought it was a prank call. I really did. One of my friends. So she transferred the call, you know. I picked it up and I said, "This is Barclay. What do you want?" And he goes, "Well, this is Mr. Sumrall, and I'd like to talk to you, Reverend." I said, like, am I supposed to know who you are? Because, see, I think I don't even know it's him. Let me ask you a question, Rev. Do you ever watch Monday Night Football? I said, "Yeah," and then it hit me. Oh, that's Sumrall. He was the sportscaster. How many of you are football fans and would know the name? Yeah, he was a man for a long time, man. And it's him on the phone. And I'm thinking, this has still got to be a joke or something. So I said, "Okay, all right, this better not be a prank call, or I'm going to come through this phone line and I'm going to choke you purple." And he goes, he got real quiet, and he goes, "Excuse me, Rev, do you treat everybody like this that calls you?" I said, "I'm sorry. Is this really?" He goes, "If I tell you two or three things about me and Monday Night Football that you'd think only I would know that, or about certain players, that you would say, try me." And I thought, I literally said, "Oh, my God, it is you." "And I'm so sorry, sir. Why are you calling me?" He goes, "We want to do a life story on you." I said, "What?" "Yeah. I think it was the Forbes Network, the CEOs who were involved. CNN back in those days was involved in that. We want you to come down to the Dallas studios, and we want to do a life story on you." I said, "Why me?" "Well, you kind of fit what we're looking for as an American success story. Born poor, raised poor. Your daddy got sick and died when you were a kid. Your mama raised four boys. You went to, you know, into the military, Marines. You went to war. You come home. You're living a decent life. You still got your wife." And he had this little punch list. I said, "Well, that kind of fits me, but I'm just going to be really straight with you, Mr. Sumrall. I don't take any credit for my life. I'm a born, lost, loser, sinner boy. I only give credit to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so you just got to know up front, because what you're saying, I'm sure somebody's investing money, and I just want you to know, there's no way I'm even taking an interview for 5 minutes if I can't tell you who is really responsible for doing anything good in my life." And he goes, "Okay, all right." Amen. He said, "Okay, all right, we figured that. I mean, you are a preacher." I said, "Yeah." I said, but really what I am is a Christian. What I do is preach. He goes, yeah, okay. Fly down here, will you? So I did. Well, the interview went on. And though they didn't mean to, you know, they made a deal with me. It would stay centered in Christianity and that I would get to brag on Jesus and how you can meet the Lord and even a sinner boy like me can get saved. And I don't think they meant to turn that. It just started to turn. And all of a sudden, it was all about me. And I finally stopped the recording session, which is pretty pricey. I just stop. And I turned to him. I said, Mr. Summerall, we turned this where I thought we would. And I thank you, but I'm going home. This is not what I thought. And I don't need, and neither does anybody else. Anyways. Okay, so we finished that up. They did use some of it. I think even CNN put some on for a while, some of the clips, you know, but I quit doing it. And before we left that studio, he turned and said to me, he said, now, Mark, listen, I know about Vicky, because I brag on Vicky, because I'll just tell you straight out, without my Vicky, I never would have made it. You got to have a strong woman in your life. You got to have, I hope that's your mother. I hope that's your grandma, but it better be your wife. I hope that's your daughters. I'm serious. Anyhow, he goes, I know you talked about Vicky and all of that, and you talked about Jesus. Being we're done almost, is there any one other thing you'd like to say? And it just came out of me. I didn't even think about it. I said, yes, sir. But you're not going to understand it, Mr. Summerall, because you're not a church guy. I can tell you don't go to church, do you? That's what I thought. So I'm going to give you my answer, but you're not going to get it. And my answer is, I went to church, and I let nobody run me off. I've allowed nobody to pluck me out. And after all these years, Mr. Summerall, I'm still a church member, and I still attend church, whether I'm preaching or not. And he goes, that's it? I said, I told you you wouldn't get it. No offense. But it is the gospel truth. I said, if you were a church man, you would know that in order to be a church member, there are bullies in church. There are mouthies in church. There are malicious gossipers that attend church. Not all churchgoers are totally fixed. Even the ones that are far from being young are not totally fixed. And then the outside pressure. You know, come on, guys. I was a teenage alcoholic. I smoked, choked, drank, cussed. Come on. My family never counseled me. But you know what happened when Vicky and I got born again and started going to church regularly? Oh, poor Mark and Vicky. Who knows? They got religion. Their life is over. They're probably going to a cult or something. And all of a sudden, now, in all of that stuff I did as a sinner boy, I never got any counseling. I got my mom who yelled at me once in a while, but over Christianity, my family all of a sudden fell in love with my future and started yakking and talking about poor Mark, poor Vicky. We better help them. They're going to that church all the time. They just got religion. They're probably being deceived. It's like, what? Deceived? I got set free. And the light turned on. Oh, yeah. And I have determined all of these years, I'm not letting anybody talk me out of my church, talk me out away from my pastor, talk me away from my duties, my ministry. You do what you want to do, and I'm not aiming at anything. I'm just talking about me, not you. But I'm just telling you, I'm still that guy today, still looking for Mark Barclay, still wanting to be around you, God's wonderful people. You're the best people on the planet. Nobody compares to you. Don't you know that? You have God. You have the anointing. You're washed by the blood. The most treasured item on the planet, the Word of God, lives inside of you, church. Come on, really. Come on. And thank God. And I declare I declare today from the office of the prophet, with the permission of Pastor Connie to just do what I feel led. And I feel led. I speak over this church. It's moving forward. I'm calling prodigals home. Not all of them are coming back. You may not even want all of them, but, you know, I'm calling prodigals home to the body of Christ everywhere. Why not you? And I say people are going to find you. Mark Barclays, desperate for God, hurting, in bondage, demon-driven, are going to find you just like I found you one day, body of Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I prophesy this church is going to continue to stay totally tied to the heavenly vision. And we don't go by the words of false prophets, the words of doomsayers. We don't go by those who pronounce death. We go by the word of God, the vision of God, and the wonderful Holy Spirit of God. And we are that church. And Satan cannot have this. It cannot have it. And it cannot have you. And I say that, and I prophesy that over you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Say, I receive it, and clap real good. Come on. Praise God. Pastor Connie, I feel led of the Spirit to anoint you with oil for the tomorrows. Thank you, Lord. Speak to her. Show her the path. You've used her all these years. All these years. She's not a beginner pastor. She's a founding pastor here. And Pastor Lamont's been in heaven now a long time. And she's done a great job pastoring this church. But I anoint her. We are grateful and we salute her for the yesterdays of living faith. But I anoint you for the future, that you will know where to take this army. You will know what to do and what not to do. You will know who to do it with and who not to do it with. And I declare you will have machinery, you will have electronics and people to operate it, and you will have money in your treasury that you can do anything that God has told for you to do, anything to lead this army into the great vision of God in Jesus' name. If you're a member of this church, stand to your feet. Please, if you're a member of this church, stand to your feet, please. I speak over you members in the same thing. May the Lord anoint you. May He anoint you to move forward and do your part and make this ministry what God Almighty wants it to be, and including you and your hands and your ministry. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Rally us so that we can move forward. And boys and girls, this is not a pep talk. I'm not a cheerleader. I don't come here to just pep talk and cheer you on and stir you up. I'm prophesying over you. Just like I did your pastor, in Jesus' name, you're going to know what to do. We're not going to disconnect from the heavenly vision. The reason that God pioneered this church in the first place, that heavenly vision. And regardless of who's deserted it, betrayed it, abandoned it, regardless of the stall, maybe some things have stalled out, we're going to resurrect them, and we're going to move on, and we're going to win souls, and we're going to make disciples in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Master. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God and praise God and praise God. Thank you once again, Living Faith, for letting me be part of your life and even speak today. Everybody'd rather hear their pastor. I know that. But thank you. You've been good to me. And I love you. I really do. And I love your caliber. And I love the fact that no matter what you've been through, this church has been through some stuff. And you just keep on marching, don't you? You keep on preaching. You keep on singing. And I love you for that. And I salute you today. And God bless you. You know, we charismatics, we had a saying. I think we still got it. Amen. So praise God. I'll see you here, there, or in the air. Because He's on His way. Amen. All right. I love you, Living Faith. Praise God. Pastor Connie. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Connie wants me to share a moment about my recent story. I was in my truck, my Bronco, parked outside of my shop. I'm an old hot rodder from the 60s. I still build a hot rod or two when I can. And I have a little shop of my own, and not for other people, but just my hobby craft. And I was sitting, I go there, I like it, you know, so I go there, and sometimes I just go there, it's my place of prayer. And I was sitting right outside my shop, praying like I do. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to go over to Covenant right now. Well, if you lived in my town, Covenant is the top heart hospital in the whole region. In fact, a couple of the surgeons there are so well known that people come, I understand, people come from around the country just for them. Well, you know, I don't have any heart symptoms. And I just passed two physicals and EKGs I don't fight high blood pressure and high cholesterol and all the stuff that's supposed to cause all that. I've been a walker, jogger, runner, bike rider all of my life. And so I didn't know the Lord was telling me to go there for me. I'm a pastor, and I'm thinking, oh, my word, somebody must be in there, because normally you don't go there to get a checkup. That's a heart place. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't know any member that went there. But I just learned. I was raised by quality people like this that taught you listen for God's voice and just obey it. Dr. Summerall, the preacher, used to say, Mark, you obey God at all costs. It don't have to make sense to you ever. Ever. And so I'm sitting there just praying, and it comes again. I want you to go to Covenant right now and don't mess around. So I back my vehicle out, and I'm heading over. It's about a 45-minute drive, maybe something like that, over there, and I'm just driving. Again, I don't have any symptoms at all that would be heart-related like that. And so I'm starting to call as I drive my staff. Who's in the hospital? Nobody, Pastor. Well, somebody is. God just told me to go over to Covenant. So I'm just thinking, well, there must be a member there. That's what pastors do. And then I felt an urgency, and the Lord said, I want you to speed it up. Okay. So now I'm thinking, not only is someone in the hospital, they must be dying or something. So I went a little quicker than you probably should, hoping that if I run into one of my police buddies or disciples that he would understand if I say, well, you know, I'm pastor and they're dying in the hospital. And then I get almost to the hospital, and the Lord says, they'll be waiting for you at the door, and you just, me? It literally, honest to God, shocked me. Me? I don't have any heart issues. What are you talking about, God? This can't, you don't mean me. I just passed physicals. Me? And what am I supposed to tell them? I'm still barely driving now to get there. I've slowed down to the parking lot. And he said, you tell them I sent you here. That's all you got to say. What? Lord, people in this region already think I'm a nutcase. You know, carnal people. I drove up. There was a whole team sitting at that door. And so I got out of my truck, walked to the door. And I don't know why there was actually a surgeon there, part of the team. I don't think they normally do that. But anyways, I went up, and one of them recognized me from television. Hey, Rev, what are you doing? I said, hey, Doc, listen, I think you're going to think I've bumped my head really hard or something, but God told me to come here, and so I'm just here. Okay, well, come in here. So they're a heart hospital, so he's checking things really quick, you know, the stats like they do. Sit down over here a minute. Da, 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 da. And finally he says, hey, Rev, listen, you don't need to be here. Just go home. Okay, I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm really okay with that. So I turned around to go to my vehicle, and the doctor yelled, "Hey, Rev!" "Yeah? Come back here a minute." So I'm walking back to the, and he said, "Don't you think if your God sent you here, I should maybe look a little closer?" I said, "Well, I don't know, Doc. I don't have any. Should I have pain? Should I be having symptoms? I mean, you just told me I'm okay, so obviously I'm not having a heart attack." "Yeah, but I'm not sure anybody's told me before that God sent them. So we're going to check you out further." Well, come to find out, there was an issue with a certain valve and artery. And he came out after that little test, the catheterization. He said, "Rev, listen, man, I'm going to give you one of two choices. You can let me do surgery as fast as I can, or you can die." Hold the horses, including the lead horse. "What are you talking about, dying? I don't have symptoms, doctor, of a heart issue." "No, you have an issue. And in fact, if it hits you just right, the staff, sometimes we name that the widow maker. And you'll just go down. You won't have time." I'm so blown away. I'm arguing with him. "You got the wrong guy. You looked at the wrong test. You look at, what is going on here?" Anyways, they convinced me, and I'm leaving a lot out of the story, but I had that surgery. It was immaculate. It was perfect. They said it was a textbook, Reverend, perfect surgery. "And we fixed your problem. You probably lived to be, you know, whatever, 150 years old. His heart will never fail you. Your heart is mega strong. You don't have a heart problem. You had another problem." Okay, great. I'm thinking, 150? I'm kind of fed up with the earth right now. Are you sure? So I'm in recovery. In that hospital, the long and short, you go to ICU, they have a special recovery room, and I'm in there. The doctors came in. He talked to me with the staff. "The heart surgery went perfect. You're going to live long. We fixed your problem. It's a weird..." He said a statement like, "What you have happens to like one in every 150 million. I don't think that's a real stat, but that's what he said. "You have like this problem. Is like it happens in one of about 150 million humans. And you better thank God we caught it on that scope, because it's fixed. Live on." That's the last thing. Amen. Isn't that great? Thank God I was taught to be led by the Spirit. You know how many demons through the years tried to get me away from my moms and fathers in the faith and pluck me out of church and take me away from, and always had some reason why, and yet I was trained to listen to the voice of God and obey it. So I'm in recovery. I'm going to live on. And then, this is my memory. This is only my memory. It's all I know. I was drifting through the air, like space, not outer space. Not really going down, just kind of drifting. And I ended up on this long corridor. And I saw Jesus coming towards me. But it wasn't what I'd always been taught. When you die, you know, people said they died and went to heaven. It was bright and glorious. Maybe I wasn't dead, just dying. But he was coming. He's very strong and very muscular, walking towards me. And he got closer and closer. And for some reason, you know, I only remember what I remember. I wasn't even conscious, you know, up above on the table. And I literally asked him, is this it for me? Am I coming home? Is this it for me? Is my ministry over? And the Lord kept walking and got right in front of me and pointed up and yelled at me. I mean, yelled at me. Not yet! And the only thing I remember from that second, I'm on a table and they're using paddles to bring me back to life. And they had to work on me twice. And I don't know much about that. I'm not a medical person. But they said they hit me with the paddles. And then they have, I guess, they called it bigger ones. And they hit me with the big paddles really hard. And the little nurse later on said, Reverend, your body came off that table. About we hit you with so much because we kind of have that look. We don't pronounce anybody dead until they're brain dead. But we had that look like we've lost this guy. And then, believe it or not, there was a little nurse in that team working. And she works on that team, I understand. But she was filling in for a friend that day. She wasn't scheduled to be there. And she's there. And when they couldn't bring me back, even with the second paddles, she yelled from the end of that table, part of the team, Mark, in the name of the Lord God Almighty, wake up. And she said, my eyes opened and the meters started going and I just came alive. Came alive. And so that's what I remember, and it's kind of weird, isn't it? My whole story's weird. Heart patients go to heart hospitals. The doctor sends you there. But the Holy Ghost sent me. And so I went to visit all of them. I wanted to thank that surgeon and that team for saving me. You know, the way they work. I said, I don't know how to thank you. You could just gave up on me, you know, when it got to that point. But you didn't. And I asked permission to go see that little nurse. And I did, and the boss nurse was there when I went there, back to the hospital. You know, I'm all going now. I said, young lady, I've come back to thank you for all the investment you put into your career. It had to cost you or your parents or somebody a lot of money to go to medical school. And you had to really apply yourself and then to get this job. And bigger than that, you came to work and you weren't even scheduled. Most people don't even work today, let alone when they're not scheduled. And I don't know why you yelled that. I really don't. She goes, well, I can tell you this. It woke you up, didn't it? Yes, ma'am. She said, you know, normally I could either lose my job or I could be transferred to a different unit because we're not here. We don't really mix like religious stuff with the surgical stuff. I said, really? She goes, yeah, but because it worked, I'm being congratulated. So my thought is, I don't know. Let's assign that woman to every heart surgery patient everywhere, right? I don't know. I don't know anything about her. I did go back to see her, but, you know, yeah, I don't know if she's a really good Christian or why she even said it. But it wasn't very much time after that experience that they released me from the hospital. And I asked the Lord, am I going to have like stroke symptoms from that brain rush? Am I going to not be able to work? Is my body part of it not going to work? Am I not going to have my faculties? These are the things rushing my brain. And he said, I got work for you to do. And I told you, it's not over yet. Not yet, son. Now do what you're told and heal quick and get back to work. I got things for you to do. And that all happened. The surgery was on November 11th, Veterans Day. I went in the hospital on the 10th, Marine Corps birthday. I thought, wait a minute, is this like a pick on the veteran guy? I go in the hospital on Marine Corps birthday and they do surgery on me on Veterans Day. What is this all about? But that's not that long ago. And I'm totally healed and I'm working and I'm traveling. Can you tell I'm strong? Thanks be to God. All right. All right, I know we got to go, but so, you know, don't you know what we're doing here? Don't you know what Pastor Connie and the other teachers are doing here? We're equipping you. May you never have a day like I had. But if you did, and the Holy Spirit said, go do this, may you do it and not argue. Not let your fat head tell you, no, it just must be me. It can't be God. See, we're training you the best we know how. For the worst moments of life, may you never have one. But you know how we live as Christians. Believe for the best, but be ready for the worst. And I speak that over you. And I thank you for praying for me. I got a lot to do yet. And I'm going to go do it. Amen. Thank you for helping me. Praise God. All right, Connie, is that okay? Is that good? All right. All right, then give your pastor another good hand clap. Come on. Praise God. Amen. Glory.
Praise the Lord. I wanted Doc Barkley to share that story. Now, we all heard that God totally orchestrated that whole thing up to the nurse. And since we're celebrating the goodness of God, I wanted you to hear how good God is. You know, he loves his son just like he loves us. But we need to spend time with the Holy Spirit so that he can speak those types of things to us. How many of you agree with that? So, Heavenly Father, why don't you just lift your hands? Heavenly Father, we lift our hands to you today in submission. Lord, draw us closer to you as we draw closer to you. Heavenly Father, we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, especially in these last days. We need to hear you as never before. Father, we purpose in our hearts today to come closer to you. With all of our shortcomings, all of our past, God, we know that you love us, and we don't have to be embarrassed before you. So, Father, I pray we all have a heart to spend more time with you, to learn your voice, so that you can save our lives, save our families, save our health. And we just thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And we just bless you. Somebody say, I love you, Lord. I want to hear your voice. I want to learn to hear your voice. I'll draw nigh to you so you can draw nigh to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, let's give Doc Barkley a nice big hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, Minister Sheila, she's going to come up and for tithes and offerings and the announcements. But I wanted to share with you, you know, Dr. Barkley is a blessed man. Amen. I want to read to you in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 1, and it says, then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. That's Dr. Barkley. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 3, and it says, Jesus said, and he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs nor bag, nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And I just wanted to share that scripture because Jesus was sending out his disciples, and God had, he was giving them, sending them out, and God was saying, I'm going to take care of them through people. And so Dr. Barclay, he travels all over, and he's come here to Living Faith. And I just wanted to encourage you to sow into his life today and sow into his ministry. Amen? And we will call that a special events offering. So I'm asking if you would be generous today and sow into Dr. Barclay's ministry. We have blue envelopes. It's a special offering. If you give online, and Minister Sheila, she's going to come up here, and we're going to show the video announcement how to give. But it, you can also go online and give into the special events portion of the offering. Amen? So that we can support him and support what he does. Amen? And he has a love for God and love for the people of God. You heard that today. So I encourage you to sow into his life. Amen. You know, he's one of the fortunate ministers who, I don't know whether he minds this, but the Lord has blessed him with a jet. And, you know, I know you might be saying, well, I don't even have a good car. Well, that's not the point. The point is, you know, traveling, I used to think traveling was glamorous, but not anymore. So he's a blessed man, and the Lord has given him a jet so that he can fly. You know, yesterday I flew in from Florida, and my flight was delayed for 2 hours. When you're a man of God, you can't afford that. You can't afford to be delayed. You're going to preach somewhere. You want to show up to preach on time. And you want to show up safe and alive. Dr. Barclay says he flies to not die. And so there are costs that come with the jet, and I'm not mad at him for that. I think it's awesome. You know, for drug dealers and movie stars can have jets. Certainly a man of God should have a jet, isn't that right? I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool, and so again, that's just to encourage you to sow into Dr. Barclay's ministry. Amen? So Minister Sheila is going to come up, and she's going to lead us in tithes and offerings. Amen. What a powerful word of God, a word from God. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Barclay. I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I just want to give you a moment. If you did not get a chance to receive a tithing offering envelope, then just raise your hand and the ushers will serve you. And if you are preparing at home, you can also, we want to give you a chance to, and we'll tell you how you can sow into the ministry. But I want to settle in our hearts that the tithe does not belong to us, that we are simply returning the tithe back to God. So that's already settled. We don't even have to talk about that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, it says, whoever sows sparingly. Now, we're not talking about the tithe because we've already established that goes to God anyway because that's his. But whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves someone who gives hilariously, cheerfully, and is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. There are some very, very natural principles to giving and to sowing and reaping. First, we must have a good ground prepared so that when we sow that seed, it'll germinate. we also have to understand that we have to be patient, because when you sow into good ground, it doesn't come up immediately. But that's why the Word of God says we must keep on casting our bread upon the waters so that it'll come back on every wave. So you're not depending on the seed you sow today to feed you tomorrow, but you got seed that you sowed years ago that's feeding you for today. So we want you just to remember that. And you also need to know that whatever you, the type of seed that you sow, that's what's going to be returned to you. And lastly, just know that when we sow seed, God doesn't give us back the same amount. He multiplies it, and he gives us back abundance upon abundance, because he's a faithful God. If he was not satisfied with the man who didn't prosper the talent that he gave, how would he just give us back one when we gave him one? God is a good and he's a faithful God. So get that in your heart and prepare to give your offering today. We want to look to the video ministry so that we can know exactly how to give.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Any checks that you are writing to Dr. Barkley, please make them out to the church and just put Dr. Barkley's name on the side so we'll know. And or if you don't have that special blue envelope, and we'll make sure that he gets it. Amen. Let's put our tithe and offering confession up on the screen, if you will. And if you'll stand with me as we make this decree. We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of Scripture that protects those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tither's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tither's blessing that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tithe rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8. Amen. Now, Father, you have heard our confession. You have heard what we have declared over our seed. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are confident that our tithe, that what we give will be returned to us, pressed down, shaken together, and in good measure it will be returned to us in Jesus' name. Praise God. You can be seated as we transition. We do have a few hot topics for you. Video, do we have any video announcements? Yes, please play the video announcements.
We're excited to invite you to join in our upcoming monthly Bible study, held every second Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We are diving into the powerful book of Acts. Whether you're new to the Bible study or a seasoned reader, you'll find this study to be engaging and enriching. As you read, jot down any questions or thoughts. Whether you're bringing questions, thoughts, or just an open heart, you'll be a vital part of this exciting journey through the Acts of the Apostles. We can't wait to see you there. Mark your calendars. Let's make this Bible study one to remember.
40 in 40 has begun. 40 days of celebrating 40 years of God's goodness, and you're invited to be part of every moment. Join us for a time filled with daily devotional inspiration, which are posted on our social media outlets, dynamic guest speakers every Sunday, powerful music and worship, surprise giveaways, and so much more as we mark 40 years of God's goodness. Dr. Barclay, we thank you so much for being with us and bringing such an awesome word today. We will have a day of worship with Minister Merlin Devine and Andrew Walls and band on the 17th of August, and ends with Dr. Helen Trowbridge on the 24th of August. Don't miss a single moment. Tickets are now on sale, and you are invited to join us for an unforgettable evening of elegance and celebration. It's the LFCC 40th Anniversary Formal Banquet, Friday, the 22nd of August at 7:30. A night filled with laughter, style, and unforgettable memories. The night will feature red carpet photos, a plated hors d'oeuvres hour, formal dinner and dessert, plus a live comedian, dancing, fellowship, and so much more. Dress to impress. Formal to semi-formal attire is encouraged. Get ready for a night to remember. Tickets are just $115 per person.
Hello, Living Faith family and friends. I'm so excited about our upcoming 40th anniversary banquet gala at the Westin Ballroom. And I really want all of you to be a part of this special event. So I'm making a special adjustment. The ticket cost is now just $75 per person in order to make this event more affordable for everyone. If you've been on the fence about attending, I hope and pray this makes you decide to come. We want everyone to be there, to be a part of this momentous occasion, and so that we can make memories for years to come. Love you.
Tickets must be purchased by the 17th of August. Don't miss the celebration of the season. We can't wait to see you there.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for reducing those tickets for people so that anyone who wants to come can come. So just remember that next Sunday is the last day to register. The marriage workshop scheduled for the 16th of August has been moved to September the 20th, so put that on your calendars. Water baptism is scheduled for Sunday, August 17th during our 10 a.m. service. If you would like to be baptized, please complete a registration form located in the sanctuary foyer. Or for more information, please contact Rosemary Robinson at extension 106 right here at the church. Is your child in need of a backpack for upcoming school year? If so, please take a moment to fill out the short form available in the foyer. Backpacks will be ready for pickup at the front desk in the main lobby after service on Sundays, August 17th and 24th. And then the church will be closed on Saturday, August the 23rd, and no activities will be held that day. And we want to thank you for understanding that, because they need a break too. Amen. So please remember to join us weekly, but each week on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our regularly scheduled midweek online service via YouTube. And the 40th anniversary Legacy in Word will continue on Wednesday, sharing legacy messages from the Our Lady Dr. Pastor Lamont McLean during this service. And then we also want you to make sure that today after service, you pick up your 40 and 40 gift in the main lobby. And then we do have one more special announcement from our dance ministry, Theater Arts. If Sister Lisa will come and just do that.
Good morning, church family. On Sunday, September 7th, right after service, we'll be holding a performing arts ministry workshop led by Sister Marie Salter. This ministry combines dance and drama to glorify God and minister through creative expression. Sister Marie, who trains churches across the tri-state area, will be sharing the vision and purpose of the powerful ministry. All members who are currently part of this ministry are expected to attend, and the workshop is also open to anyone seriously consider joining. If you feel called to serve through the arts, please sign up today. We look forward to seeing you there.
Amen. Thanks, Cecilia. And you can sign up online. There will be a QR code, or there may also be something in the lobby that you can sign up. And we just welcome back our beautiful pastor, Pastor Lamont. I mean, Pastor Connie, I'm sorry. I want you all to know that this is still a bad day for the devil. Amen? And we're going to spend the next 40 years saying, oh my God, they woke up again. They're still here. Amen? Turn to somebody, say, we're still here. Amen. So we're purposing to make every day a bad day for the devil. In Jesus' name. I want to, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to make sure if there's anyone in the building, in this sanctuary, I can't assume that everybody's born again and everyone has accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. And so I just want to lead you in a prayer. You know, God loves you so much. He has a place for you in His family. He has a place for you in His plan. And if you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner. I also believe that you are a Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You served my sentence for my sins. I also believe that God the Father raised you from the dead to live forever so that I could live forever with you. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Now say, devil, you can no longer lord over me, fool me, or trick me, because today I have a new Lord, and His name is Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life, for changing me, saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if anybody prayed that prayer for the very first time, can you just raise your hand? Anybody prayed that prayer for the very first time? Anyone? Praise the Lord. We want to make sure. We don't want to embarrass you or anything. We just want to give you some information, pray with you if you want to be prayed for. Is that anybody today? Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to... You can stand to your feet. We're going to close out in prayer. I did want to acknowledge any first-time attenders. Any first-time attenders here? You can raise your hand real high. I see the hand back there. See the hand over here. Come on, y'all. The people around them, make them feel welcome. Give them a handshake, a brotherly hug. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I just want to say personally, welcome to Living Faith Christian Center. We're so glad you came to join us today, and especially today to hear Dr. Mark Barclay. So, Living Faith, why don't you just tell them, welcome to Living Faith. Praise the Lord. Also, I'm looking forward to all of you joining me at our 40th anniversary banquet gala. Amen. So make sure you purchase your tickets so we can get a good head count so we can make sure everybody's accommodated for that special event. Amen. I'm excited about that. And I want to see as many people there as possible. Amen. The more the merrier, as they say. Praise God. All right. You can, I think that's my last announcement. Oh, Doc Barclay has a product table in the back over in this direction. So please stop by his table and see what he has and get fed by the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's thank you, Dr. Barclay. Thank you for coming and sharing with us and being with us and blessing us. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you for this day that you have made. and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you. We declare and decree in agreement with your word and what you've already spoken over us. So we declare in Jesus' name, come on, y'all, that we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. If you're in agreement with that,